speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Today I want to read to you from the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, where in that closing thought that the Lord is putting into his letter, he said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled away, for there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, these things bring before our minds that there is a lake of fire to which the wicked are going. In Matthew 25:46, Jesus said of the wicked, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal or everlasting life. The same period of time that eternity shall be for the wicked, it shall also be for the righteous. You know, though, during the last 100 years, the rise of modernism and liberalism in established denominations has led to a watering down or else a complete rejection of the biblical truth concerning the reality of a burning hell. And aiding and abetting the modernist during this time in his rejection of the truth concerning eternal punishment have been those religious organizations which deny that man has a rational spirit or that he continues to live after death or the separation from the body. But you know, by pulling such biblical verses as Ecclesiastes 3, verses 19 and 20, and Ecclesiastes 9, 5 out of their context, then they deny that man is a spirit being, clothed in flesh, made in the image of God. Now, Genesis 1 says that he is made in the image of God, verse 26, 27. And he said in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then these people proceed to deny the biblical truth about the wicked being cast into eternal punishment after the judgment. Well, it would be something if they could do away with hell, wouldn't it? But Matthew 25:46 assures us that they cannot, because Jesus said concerning the fate of the unrighteous after the great day of judgment, these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. So from this passage, it is abundantly clear, with other passages involved too, that as long as the righteous enjoy life eternal, just that long will the wicked suffer punishment in hell. Now, people who rationalize that God would not punish sinners that way just do not believe all of the scriptures and what they say, do they? Nor do they believe the enormity of the crime of sin against God. You know, sins like lying and drunkenness, adultery and perversions of every kind, lust and greed and extortion, cursing and lasciviousness and false religion, they're all crimes against God. And John 3:4 said sin is a transgression of his law. Now, the wages for crime, the crime of sin, against God is death. In other words, spiritual and eternal separation from God. And God has sent his Son in his love and his concern for man to save man from the guilt of his sins. One who obeys the Lord, he can find salvation from hell. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 says, to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, he will take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus so plainly set about to show that sin and the reality of the fiery hell was true, that he said, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire. Matthew 5:22. Yet it is so characteristic of men to call their fellow man such vile terms as fool or even stupid fool. How ungodly for a Christian to so say that about another brother. Indeed, he is the Lord's servant, and he should not be said of that by any person. For just such wicked and sinful speech, unrepented, men and women shall go into hell, it says, into the unquenchable fire, Mark 9:44. Unquenchable means it shall never be quenched. And an unquenchable fire cannot be physical, materialistic fire, but it must be one that is an eternal, enduring in nature. in a similar strong figure. Revelation 21:8 describes the horror of eternal punishment to our finite minds like this. He said, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, they shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." In November 1930, Albert Einstein wrote, "Man would indeed be in a poor way if he had to be restrained by the fear of punishment or the reward of death." Well, one doesn't need to be an Einstein to realize that this statement represents an abusive attitude toward the biblical declarations that we've just noticed, both about heaven and about hell. Well, in reality, this is a denial of their existence, isn't it? And it is even more unfortunate when this attitude is manifested in action. You know, abuses relating to heaven and hell abound in the religious world, so-called, to such an extent that an entire volume could be devoted to just a review of these alone. And such is not possible or intended here in our thoughts today. But in our limited thoughts, we will endeavor to touch upon just one of those abuses, and that is purgatory. You know, the Roman Catholic Church has developed a doctrine in which it is held that all who die at peace with the church, but who are not perfect, must undergo penal or purifying suffering in an intermediate state or realm known as purgatory. Only those believers, they say, who have attained a state of Christian perfection go immediately into heaven. The great mass of partially sanctified Christians go to purgatory, where for a longer or shorter time they suffer until all sin is purged away, after which they are translated into heaven. Well, this unscriptural idea of purgatory, which, by the way, the word is not even mentioned in the Bible, a place of separation from hell, but where souls of sinners are purified, initially took shape in the 6th century. It was, in fact, Gregory the First who molded it into its present form in A.D. 593. However, the seeds of what would later become the doctrine of purgatory had been present since the days of Plato in 428 to 348 B.C., before Christ, if not before that even. But it was the Council of Trent in 1548 that officially confirmed this false teaching into Catholicism as what they called the sound doctrine concerning purgatory. Cardinal Gibbons, former Archbishop of Baltimore, he made clear Catholic teaching on the subject of purgatory when he wrote this: "The Catholic Church teaches that, besides a place of eternal torments for the wicked, and of everlasting rest for the righteous, there exists in the next life a middle state of temporary punishment allotted for those who have died in venial sin and who have not satisfied the justice of God for sins already forgiven." Well, essentially then, Catholics do believe in an intermediate state. It just doesn't happen to correspond with the intermediate state affirmed in the Scriptures, the Hadean realm. You know, it is spoken of in Acts 2:27 that Jesus went to Hades. He said to the thief in Luke 23:43, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," which represented a part of Hades. In Luke 6:19-31, he spoke of the rich man and Lazarus. And he said there was a great gulf between them which no one could cross. You know, it'd be helpful to add that the Catholic Church bases its doctrine of purgatory mainly on the apocryphal books that are not really inspired books. And these, for obvious reasons, should not be accepted. Well, when we notice these things, of course, it's interesting to study. And we realize that Hades is true, purgatory is false. But when we think about that, we realize that still there's that great gulf there which no man can cross. Hence, the thought about being cleansed from sins after death is simply not true. My friends, if you would be cleansed from sin, hear the word of the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of the sins of your life, confess the precious name of Jesus before men, and be buried with your Lord in the watery grave of baptism to arise to walk in newness of life, cleansed from all of your sins.